Welcome to the message from First Church Papakura for Sunday, the 24th of October, 2021. Let's pray as we prepare to share God's word today. Heavenly Father, as we gather together in various places and through different media to share eternal principles from your word, we ask that you would reveal your truths to each one of us. We pray that our hearts open to the leading of the Holy Spirit as we continue to look at Joshua's walk of faith. Amen. Well, our theme today is winning life's battles. So let's open our time together with the song King of Glory, based on Psalm 24, celebrating the Lord's entrance into Zion. Amazing words that we have in that song, all based on the word of God. Well, battles are inevitable. While they may not be looming on the horizon, they will come. No one is exempt. No one can go AWOL. The battles of life often come without warning, or at the very most with little notice. Therefore, we must be at a state of readiness for the battles of life. If we wait till the battle is upon us, it may be too late. A plan for winning life's battles is found in Joshua chapter 8. This demonstrates how God marshals great power to the side of the individual that stands face to face and toe to toe with the enemy. God can turn tragedy into triumph, defeat into victory, and calamity into conquest. In late October of 1944, an officer commanding a platoon of American soldiers received a call ordering him to recapture a small French city from the Nazis. For weeks, French resistance fighters had risked their lives to gather information about the German fortifications in that city, and they had smuggled this information out to the Allies. The French underground's efforts provided the Americans with something worth its weight in gold, a detailed map of the city. It wasn't just your bog standard AA map with the names of major streets and landmarks. It showed specific details of the enemy's defensive positions. Before the soldiers moved out to take their objective, the captain gave each man a chance to study the map and gave them a test covering the major landmarks and enemy strongholds. As a result, the men captured the city with little loss of American lives. Like these men, we will face battles in our lives. Fortunately for believers in Christ, we, like the American platoon, have been given a map, a detailed plan for how to win when facing the battles of life. This plan for winning life's battles is found in Joshua 8. The Hebrew nation had suffered its one and only defeat at Ai due to the sinfulness of one person. Now under God's direction, they were ready to follow his plan to victory. The map God gave Joshua is the same map that we need to study, learn, and know in order to stand the tests and trials of daily living. It doesn't matter how old we are, either in human years or the years as a born-again child of God, we need to keep refreshing our minds and spirit with the Word of God. Without that, we become stale, comfortable, complacent. We all face battles in our daily lives. You just have to look at a few newspaper headlines to sample a few of the battles and dilemmas people are facing. Here's a selection just from the paper yesterday. Education Minister awake at night over Delta spread in schools. Years of work up in flames after teen's car stolen and set alight. Carpenter facing deportation over food vouchers pleads for second chance. Fire reignites safety concerns. Restrictions for unvaccinated Victorians to extend well into 2022. Parents of missing Australian girl make emotional plea. Singapore confronts division and fear. And so on and so on. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11 and 12 tells us, I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favour to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. Moreover, no one knows when their hour will come. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so people are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. The author of Ecclesiastes observes that luck and chance play a big part in life. The race is not always won by the fastest runner. The bravest soldier doesn't always win the battle. The wisest don't always enjoy the best meals. The cleverest are not always the richest. And the capable do not always rise to be a president or a prime minister. Bad luck dogs everyone's footsteps. Time and chance are factors that play an important role in success and failure. When the billionaire J. Paul Getty was asked to explain his success, he replied, "Some people find oil, others don't." And no one knows when bad luck will strike. like fish caught in a net or birds in a trap. Man is overtaken by bad fortune or even by death. He never knows which bullet has his name on it. God's word is full of eternal principles. Let's look at four of these today in Joshua chapter 8. Firstly, be in a state of readiness for the battles of life. In the military, each branch of the services has ready response units that are always prepared at a moment's notice to go into action. Their bags are packed, their weapons cleaned, their ammunition stocked, their rations supplied, their vehicles, planes or ships in top mechanical working order, and their training complete. Why? Because no one knows when an attack may come and national security threatened. They have to be ready. Likewise, the battles of life often come without warning, or at the very most with little notice. Therefore, we must be at a state of readiness for the battles of life. A sturdy but timid young man once asked a farmer for a job as a farmhand. "What can you do?" inquired the farmer. "I can do whatever has to be done, and I can sleep when the storms come," replied the applicant. Although mystified by the phrase, "sleep when the storms come," the farmer did not press the question but hired the young man. Some nights later, a violent storm awoke the farmer. He got up and tried unsuccessfully to arouse the farmhand, then, with considerable annoyance, went out himself to see if all was well. He found the barn locked, the chicken coop properly closed up, and a wagon load of hay covered with a tarpaulin that was securely battened down, and all else in a condition of safety from the elements. Then the farmer realized what his new farmhand meant when he said, "I can sleep when the storms come." In Romans 8, verses 37 to 39, we read, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Instead of separating us from Christ's love, these things only succeed in drawing us closer to him. We are not only conquerors, but more than conquerors. It is not simply that we triumph over these formidable forces, but in doing so, we bring glory to God, blessings to others, and good to ourselves. But this is not through our own strength. Remember the first battle of Ai? But only through him who loved us. Only the power of Christ can bring sweetness out of bitterness, strength out of weakness, triumph out of tragedy, and blessing out of heartbreak. But the apostle hasn't finished his search. He ransacks the universe for something that might conceivably separate us from God's love, then dismisses the possibilities one by one. Death with all its terrors, life with all its allurements, angels nor demons, supernatural in power and knowledge, powers whether human tyrants or angelic adversaries, things of the present crashing in upon us, things to come arousing fearful forebodings, height nor depth, those things that are in the realm of dimension or space, including occult forces. Then, just to make sure, Paul adds, nor any created thing. The outcome of Paul's search is that he can find nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder these words of triumph have been the song of those who have died martyrs' deaths, and the rhapsody of those who have lived martyrs' lives. And look at what 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15 says, when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel. He, Jahaziel, said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The Spirit of the Lord spoke through Jahaziel, dispelling the fear that had gripped the nation. The battle was God's. The people only had to go out the next day and see what God had done. This is how it should be for us. Take our battles, our fears to the Lord in prayer, because He's got this. He's got our backs. Psalm 24, verse 7 and 8 says, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. If these words from David don't inspire you to trust God with your battle, I'm not sure what will. Our second eternal principle to look at. Go to God for help in battle. Let's read our main scripture for today, Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 to 28. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king, except that you may carry off their plunder and livestock for yourselves. Set an ambush behind the city." So Joshua and the whole army moved out to attack Ai. He chose 30,000 of his best fighting men and sent them out at night with these orders. "Listen carefully. You are to set an ambush behind the city. Don't go very far from it. All of you, be on the alert. I and all those with me will advance on the city, and when the men come out against us as they did before, we will flee from them. They will pursue us until we have lured them away from the city, for they will say, 'Ha! They're running away from us as they did before.' So when we flee from them, you are to rise up from ambush and take the city. The Lord your God will give it into your hand. When you've taken the city, set it on fire. Do what the Lord has commanded. See to it. You have my orders." Then Joshua sent them off, and they went to the place of ambush and lay in wait between Bethel and Ai to the west of Ai. But Joshua spent that night with the people. Early the next morning, Joshua mustered his army, and he and the leaders of Israel marched before them to Ai. The entire force that was with him marched up and approached the city and arrived in front of it. They set up camp north of Ai with the valley between them and the city. Joshua had taken about 5,000 men and set them in ambush between Bethel and Ai to the west of the city. So the soldiers took up their positions with the main camp to the north of the city and the ambush to the west of it. And that night, Joshua went into the valley. When the king of Ai saw this, he and all the men of the city hurried out early in the morning to meet Israel in battle at a certain place overlooking the Arabah. But he didn't know that an ambush had been set against him behind the city. Joshua and all Israel let themselves be driven back before them, and they fled toward the wilderness. All the men of Ai were called to pursue them, and they pursued Joshua and were lured away from the city. Not a man remained in Ai or Bethel who did not go after Israel. They left the city open and went in pursuit of Israel. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Hold out toward Ai the javelin that is in your hand, for into your hand I will deliver the city." So Joshua held out toward the city the javelin that was in his hand. As soon as he did this, the men in the ambush rose quickly from their position and rushed forward. They entered the city and captured it and quickly set it on fire. The men of Ai looked back and saw the smoke of the city rising up into the sky, but they had no chance to escape in any direction. The Israelites, who had been fleeing towards the wilderness, had turned back against their pursuers. For when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that smoke was going up from it, they turned around and attacked the men of Ai. So those in the ambush also came out of the city against them, so that they were caught in the middle with Israelites on both sides. Israel cut them down, leaving them neither survivors nor fugitives. But they took the king of Ai alive and brought him to Joshua. When Israel had finished killing all the men of Ai in the fields and in the wilderness where they had chased them, and when every one of them had been put to the sword, all the Israelites returned to Ai and killed those who were in it. 12,000 men and women fell that day, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back the hand that held out his javelin until he had destroyed all who lived in Ai. But Israel did carry off for themselves the livestock and plunder of the city, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it into a permanent heap of ruins, a desolate place to this day. The previous defeat of the Hebrew army at the hands of the men of Ai came not only because of the sin of Achan, but also because the Hebrews failed to go to God for direction and guidance. They had experienced a miraculous victory at Jericho. Perhaps they felt they didn't need God's help. After the humiliating defeat, the Hebrews quickly realized the stupidity of their assumption. It only took them one defeat to go to God before any battle. Prayer is not the position of last resort, but a first priority. Prayer is our emergency number when facing the battles and crises in life. When someone dials 111, they are connected with a dedicated emergency line operator who is reading a computer screen displaying the telephone number, possibly the address or location, and the name by which that telephone number is listed. Also listening in are the police, the fire department, and the paramedics, who are then dispatched to the emergency as necessary. A caller might not be able to say what the problem is because they are in such distress. But the operator doesn't need them to say anything. They know where the call is coming from. Help is already on the way. There come times in our lives when facing battles, we dial 111 prayers. Sometimes we're absolutely beside ourselves. Sometimes we don't know the words to speak. But God hears. He knows our name and our situation. Help is on the way. God has already begun to marshal his forces. In their first attack on Ai, the Hebrew army had become overconfident and complacent, not entrusting the battle to God. And last week we saw the terrible consequences as a result of leaving God out of the equation. 36 battle deaths and the destruction of one man and his entire family for the sin he had committed. As we face our own life's battles, we need to ensure we haven't become overconfident or complacent, believing our own press for past triumphs. We need to be putting in those calls, praying those prayers. The emergency 111 prayers in the midst of the battle. The prayers full of praise for victory in the battle. The persistent prayers asking for the same thing over and over. And the preparation prayers to prepare you for battle. Our third point, believing in God's promise. Faith is inevitably linked to victory in life's battles. Lauren King wrote, "They are related and there is never victory without faith, for faith is the means to victory. But the place and time of faith is separate from that of victory. Faith must come before victory. And when victory is assured, when the results are in and certain, then faith is no longer needed. Faith's work has been done. Faith is with us in our human condition until the final obtainment, the final victory. Faith remains our necessary resort, our stay and help, not in the day of triumph, but in the struggle and dust and dimness of our battle. By faith in God, we can live and sing as triumphantly as the great hymn writer Fanny Crosby. She faced a lifelong battle of blindness when at 6 weeks of age, Crosby lost her sight to an eye infection and medical ignorance when a country doctor placed hot poultices on her inflamed eyes. But Fanny Crosby survived that battle and wrote the hymn, "Victory Through Grace," with these words in the refrain. "Not to the strong as the battle, not to the swift as the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace." Look again at Joshua 8, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." This time, the Hebrews put their faith and trust in God and followed his plan to the letter. This time, they were even allowed to keep the spoils of war. If only Achan had waited a few more days, he too could have been part of the celebrations. When we put our trust in the Lord, we already have the victory. We just need to step aside and let God take the glory. Our fourth and final point, face your enemies instead of retreating. Although the Hebrews had been promised victory, they still had to go to the battle. While Joshua had placed the battle in God's hands, the Hebrew army still had to fight. They couldn't just crawl into a bomb shelter and wait for the celebration party later. They had to march down to the battlefront. Faith is never passive. Perhaps the ultimate test of one's faith is facing the enemy. Never have believers been instructed to retreat from life's battles. According to the New Testament, God has provided believers with a protective armor for facing the battles of life. And interestingly enough, as we know, he made no provisions for the back. It is never in God's will for us to run from the battles of life. If we choose to run, and many people do, the battle will simply be postponed to a later date in the journey. It may have a different look, but it will be the same fight. Why? Because God wants to teach us that he is sufficient for any battle. We can save ourselves a lot of aggravation by standing firm and waiting in God's power. Have you noticed that God marshals great power to the side of the individual that stands face to face and toe to toe with the enemy? God can turn tragedy into triumph, defeat into victory, and calamity into conquest when we face the enemy, but not a moment sooner. The necessary plan has been presented for facing the battles in life. Putting these plans into practice makes the difference between victory and defeat. Joshua and his army could have been paralyzed by fear after the rout at Ai, but they confessed their sin and repented. Putting things right with God put them back in the game under the covering of God's grace and protection. Ephesians 6:13 and 17 reminds us, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." How often over the years have we read about the full armor of God? The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with readiness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. It's not a matter of choosing which piece of armor to wear. We need all of it, and God has supplied us with all of it. As we come to the end of today's message, think back to the beginning of the message and the story of the platoon's attack to free the French city. Nearly 30 years after the military operation that recaptured the French city for the American army, an army researcher heard the story and decided to base a study on it using a group of American tourists to help him with his research. For several hours, the men and women were allowed to study the same map the soldiers had, and then they were given the same test. Most of the tourists failed miserably. The reason for the difference between these two groups was motivation. Knowing their lives were on the line, the soldiers were highly motivated to learn every detail of the map. For the tourists, being in a research study provided some motivation, but most of them had nothing to lose but a little pride if they failed the test. Will we stand firm as we face the battles of life as a tourist, or as a soldier knowing that our very lives are at stake. Take a moment to think about a battle that you or a loved one is facing. Take some time in the coming week to pray about it, giving it to God and asking for His wisdom. And bring to mind the words from Fanny Crosby's hymn, "Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace." Let's close today and listen to a version of that hymn now. Focus on the words and let the Holy Spirit minister to you as you meditate upon His word.
Still to conquer, riding the King in His might, leading the host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, glad in their brilliant array, shouting the name of their leader, hear them exultingly sing. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace.
We thank you, Lord, that you have already won the victory for us by your death on the cross. Help us by your grace and love to live triumphantly, particularly in these challenging times, and to believe in your promise that when we face our battles, you're there before us. Praise your name, now and forever. Amen.